Well, it's finally here. The O-pill has now been released for circulation over the counter, although there's several places that may not have it yet, because that depends on several pharmacies' vendors and availability and their contracts. But as of March the 4th, 2024, O-pill is now legit. It is available, based on where you are in the country, over the counter. Now, for our friends across the pond, I understand that birth control pills in some areas of Europe is totally already a thing, and same thing for some Latin American countries, but it's a big deal for us here in the U.S. because this is a landmark opportunity. For the first time, some form of hormonal birth control is available over the counter, not just as emergency contraception like Plan B. All right, so here's why we're doing this. We've covered the O-pill many times in the past. We've actually been following this since it first came out in concept, as then it was first proposed for over-the-counter status. When it got approved, we covered it, and now it is here. Now, as point of reference, I'm recording this on March the 6th, 2024. The FDA allowed it to be available in commercial locations on March the 4th, 2024. And today, which is Wednesday, the 6th of March, ACOG released its practice advisory in support of O-pill availability. All right, none of that is new. We knew it was coming. We knew that it was going to be likely in the first quarter of 2024. And true to form, we are here and it's real. However, there are some things that we all have to remind ourselves about this new medication's availability over the counter and what patients need to understand about this. Now, you and I understand that not all birth control pills are the same. We get that because combined estrogen and progestin birth control is very different from a progestin-only pill, which the O-pill belongs to, right? It's a POP. It's a progestin-only pill. So in this episode, we're going to briefly review this brand new practice advisory from the college based on O-pill's now availability status, but we're going to cover three main things. And this is a great reminder for all of us to educate patients as they come to us about these things if they're considering this medication. Number one, not all birth control pills are the same. That's the first thing. And because of that, their dosing schedule has to be followed. This is a big deal, and we're going to talk about this in this episode. And that leads to our next point, is that if the dosing schedule is not done, which kind of emergency birth control can the patient use? Because if we give them the wrong kind of emergency birth control, and they're taking a progestin-only pill, that could be disastrous. So we're going to explain, of course, things that you've already know, but we're going to remind ourselves about this relationship. And lastly, we're going to talk about some potential issues that patients need to be aware of, because if they're not aware of two specific things, which is the potential negative impact on acne or skin blemishes, as well as breakthrough bleeding, then that may be a game stopper for these patients, and we need to prepare them for this. So we're going to talk about all this. No, not all progestin-only pills are the same, and some actually can help with acne. There's only one kind that does that, which is the anti-androgen type, which is drospirenone, which is SLIND. So here's the question. Is the O-pill androgenic? Can it potentially aggravate acne, or is it non-androgenic? Well, I guess I already said it, because there is only one real anti-androgenic progestin-only pill, which is drospirenone-based, that is SLIND. So how androgenic is the O-pill? Well, we're going to talk about that briefly as we discuss where it is in the generations of androgenicity, where it is in the generation of the original testosterone, 19-norotestosterone derivative. Is it a first-generation progestin, a second, a third? And what does that mean? I know we've talked about this many times on this show, but it's a good time to review this because now it's out there in the community. So we need to educate patients on these things, prepare for these two things that are very possible, breakthrough bleeding, and of course the potential, not that it will, but the potential for little blemishes, maybe acne aggravation based on how this kind of progesterone works. And we're going to lay that out in this episode. So very briefly, we're just going to summarize key points from ACOG's practice advisory released today, Wednesday, March the 6th, 2024. Here we go. Just trying to keep everyone up to date on evidence-based practice because medicine moves real fast. This is Clinical Pearls.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Podcast family, yes, we're going to get into that practice advisory from the college in just a moment. But before I do that, I just wanted to read something that I received from a listener, one of our podcast family members, that just, man, it was so refreshing. This is middle of the week. It's Wednesday. I'm running around. I was in one location with the medical students in the morning. We did simulations for that. Had to run to our resident didactics in the afternoon. Meanwhile, I've got meetings online and blah, 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 right? Typical day. But I got this little ping, this little notification from my messenger. And I looked at this and I'm like, oh my goodness, I so needed this today. So guys, I'm going to read this to you, de-identified. I just want to give you something that really touched me and I want to share with you, okay? First, look, if you send us a Facebook message or an Instagram message or whatever, we're going to get it. I mean, typically I get that. Sometimes somebody on the team gets it before I do, which is rare because I'm always connected to this mobile darn device. But it's about, I don't know, 2% of the time they'll send it to me. Hey, you need to check your messages. All right, fine. Otherwise I do it myself. But this was just so, so heartwarming. Oh my goodness. And I wanted to encourage you that, look, we all have an opportunity to impact somebody. I mean, every day. I mean, literally, right? I mean, every patient encounter is the opportunity for us to help someone. Look, I'm not talking about rainbows and lollipops. I know it's tough. I do get frustrated. I get overwhelmed at times. It's not unusual. If you work with me, you know, I occasionally launch, I pull the pin and I launch the F-bomb. Sorry. I mean, guys, I'm just human. I'm trying to do as I can. But and they keep calling you and calling you and calling you. I'm trying to do my work. As I tell the residents all the time, what gets in the way of my work is my work. And so in those kind of times, pin is pulled, grenade launches, there goes the F-bomb. Sorry. And I do apologize afterwards. I do. The majority of the time. Sometimes I don't. But I got this message and it was a great reminder. Look, we all have an opportunity, guys, to really impact somebody, whether it's a patient, it's a coworker, it's our nurse, it's your colleague, it's your boss, whatever. Life is too short to be miserable, guys. I mean, if you're that unhappy going to work, don't take it out. You're going to infect everybody else. I mean, misery is a great virus. And you know what else is a great virus? Enthusiasm and passion and purpose. So I choose that one instead of misery. I refuse to go through every hour of the day, miserable and just in a dark place because I've been there and it's no fun. So let me just read you this message because I've already, this already taken longer than I wanted it to, but I hope this encourages you. Again, de-identified, but let it speak to you. And I'm doing this with all humility because and I'm not doing this as a braggadocious thing, I promise you, but just look at the heartwarmingness of this message, okay? Please understand where I'm coming from. That I want this to be an encouragement to you, not as a, look what they have said about me. That's really not what I'm trying to do at all. And if it comes across like that, I'm sorry. So here's the message. Okay, good afternoon, Dr. Chapa. I'm not sure if you will see this, but I am writing to introduce myself. Yes, as I said, if you write it to me, I promise you I will see it or somebody on the team will see it. So they go on. I am a third-year medical student at blank location. Excellent. Here they go. I am also an enthusiastic fan of your show. The podcast has truly captured my interest, and I look forward to your posts every week. I have been following the show for about a year and a half now, and I must express my gratitude to you for helping solidify my desire to pursue a career in OBGYN. Let's stop there. What? Are you kidding me? I mean, oh my goodness. That, guys, oh. Now, you may think, man, melodramatic much, Choppa? I mean, really, it's just a little compliment, deal with it, and move on. No, this means so much. I didn't have this. And this means something to me, and I hope it means something to you. It just means something to me. Let me finish this awesome note, and then we'll get on with what we're trying to do. They go on to say, quote, "It's extremely refreshing as a student to hear attendings such as yourself remain passionate about your work. Your dedication to patients and medical education is very admirable, man, and is something that I hope to emulate in my own practice one day. Just wanted to reach out and thank you for the impact you are making. I am happy to be part of the podcast family." Y'all, this is the kind of community that we're trying to build here, is this kind of encouragement. With all the negativity and all the stress and anxiety that's out there, do you see how those few sentences, those few words, that changed my entire afternoon? How much more, guys, if you see your coworker who's upset or frustrated, just go, "Man, I'm here for you," or "Thank you," or "You matter to me." That kind of stuff. Because I was kind of wigged out, honestly. I was a little overwhelmed in the afternoon. I've just, my schedule is unbelievable. No surprise there. And I get myself in all these different things. And while I love it, but I get a little wigged out just looking at the calendar. And I was kind of stressed out. That message came in like at perfect timing. I mean, it was new air into the lungs. Do y'all get that? All to say, thank you. Thank you so much for just supporting the program, for supporting this show, for being part of our podcast family, all of you. Because without you all, I mean, I don't want them to take away the show. I mean, the truth is, we're not going to get into the business sides and all the logistics, but yeah, we're only live because we're healthy, we're growing. It's a strong, our the podcast is alive, and it's evolving, and I'm thankful for that. But that's only possible because of the community that we've built. All to say, I appreciate you all for allowing me time to take me on your walks. I've had somebody, we did a Zoom today for another podcast where we talked about things that can happen during pregnancy. I'll give you that link when that comes out live. But I appeared on somebody else's podcast today. And like, "Oh, I take you, you know, you're with me as I walk my dog." Well, thank you. I'll be happy to walk your dog with you. Or people who send me messages, "Oh my gosh, you're part of my daily commute to work." Thank you. I'm honored to do that. It means a lot to me that you listen to this dude who's just trying to build a community here, trying to give us something encouraging, something insightful. Because the truth is, heaven forbid, one day if my family is sick, that somebody is at their bedside who knows what they're doing, knows the literature, knows the data, who's compassionate, and who wants to be there. That's all I'm asking, is that we try to give our patients the best that they deserve, because it's not their fault. We all have bad days. I have bad days too, but it's not their fault. All right. All to say is, thank you. Thank you for your messages and thank you for your encouragement. Let's get on with the show. Okay, now we got a boogie. So this practice advisory from March 2024 was titled "First Over-the-Counter Daily Contraceptive Pill Released." So notice the wording for that, which is so accurate and so thorough and so succinct, because now there's other hormonal over-the-counter products. That's Plan B. But this is the first over-the-counter daily contraceptive pill released. And patients need to know the difference between a POP and a combination pill. All that's required for birth control, remember, is the progestin. That's why there's no estrogen-only pills. But progestin is what helps decidualize the endometrium, thicken the cervical lining, and potentially, based on dose and serum levels available, potentially help either restrict or limit or delay ovulation. That is a secondary effect. The primary effect, of course, is making the cervical mucus inhospitable to sperm entry and changing or decidualizing the endometrial cavity. The O-pill is a type of progestin which is norgestrel. Okay, it's norgestrel, and we're going to talk about the generations of progestin in a minute. But to be specific, it is 0.075 milligrams of norgestrel. It is taken daily. FDA says, I think this is safe enough. We've got history with this. It's not a new medication. It's been out in the past for many, many years, and it went away and it came back. So let's put it out there. So finally, as of March the 4th, 2024, it's now available geographically in some areas more than others. Excellent. ACOG reminds us in the practice advisory that this is totally fine for patients with obesity. Patients don't need a pelvic exam for this. They don't need to have a current pap smear. Take away obstacles for effective birth control. That's the take-home message. Yes, those things are important. Obesity counseling is important. Getting a pap smear is important, but they should not restrict or be in the way of a patient receiving this medication if they want to get that, okay? Now, the other thing that the college reminds us in this practice advisory are the differences between perfect use and typical use, right? If a patient takes this thing like they're supposed to within the certain window of time every day, which we're going to talk about here, then their chance of getting pregnant is less than 1%. It's like 0.3%. That's the quoted rate for perfect use. So put in a reminder in their phone, tell them you got to put this, put an alert, whatever you got to do, because this pill works, but it only works if it's taken correctly, and it's not very forgiving. We're going to talk about that, okay? Because unlike drospirenone and a drospirenone-only pill like Slynd, S-L-Y-N-D, which we've talked about, that there's a whole topic on that in the previous episode, which has a grace period of about 24 hours based on its half-life, this pill has a very quick in-and-out phase of your body. Okay, so you've got to take it within that short window, and that window is 3 hours. Now, I think 3 hours is a long time, but if life happens and you're running around, 3 hours may be very short. So this practice advisory gives some very helpful reminders of what to do if they do not take the pill within that 3 hour delay, right? So in other words, that 3 hour window means it's not like you can take it, you know, you can take it 3 hours before schedule, but that's not late. That's taking it before. So if you're taking it, for example, every night at 10 p.m. and you say, well, can I take that at 7 p.m., 3 hours before? Yeah, that's, you're taking it early. That's okay. You just got to reset. Now you've changed your daily time. You got to adhere to that. The 3 hour window means don't have a delay of more than that amount of time. So if you're taking it every night at 10, you've got into 1 a.m., 11, 12, 1 a.m. to take that pill to keep your levels constant. Does that make sense? That's the 3 hour window. So it doesn't necessarily work ahead of that because you're just taking it early at that point. You just got to stick to that from that day on. But the window has to do with the time of delay to keep levels constant. And for this medication, it's 3 hours. So if they fall outside of that window, like, oh my gosh, I'm 6 hours late on taking my O pill, they need to know what to do. We're going to discuss that in this episode. Then we're going to talk about, again, as I mentioned in the intro, just a little touch on potential androgenicity issues with acne. And then, of course, something not unique to the O pill, but any form of progestin-only methods, which is that weird breakthrough bleeding, because this is not over-the-counter. The FDA did not approve this for dysmenorrhea, for endometriosis, for cycle suppression, because you're going to get irregular bleeding. Now, can it do all of those things? For sure. I mean, it's a progestin-only method. Yes, it would probably help with endometriosis. Yes, it would probably help with a menstrual suppression. But that's not its main job, because the job is over-the-counter birth control. And if taken correctly, 0.3% perfect use. However, and this is the big issue, guys, patients need to know that if you don't take it correctly, typical use, typical failure rate within 1 year is up to 9%. 9%. Okay, so much better than a condom, that's for darn sure, but 9% if they don't take it correctly. So I'm a fan of using this with something else like a spermicide ovule, spermicide gel, whatever. Use something else. Use it with a condom if they want to. This is great birth control if taken correctly. Now, birth control pills that are combination, estrogen plus progestin, that estrogen is additionally a little bit more suppressive. So you've got a little bit of back, you've got a little bit more grace period there. That's why, you know, you can skip a pill for 24 hours and then just take the missed pill the next day, resume your regular pill, regular schedule, and you'll be all right. Okay. So you do get that grace with a combination pill of the day. Okay. So if you miss it for the day, just make it up the next day and you'll be okay. Can't do that with this pill. Does that make sense? You got 3-hour window. For Slynd, it mimics, because of its half-life, a combination pill that if you miss a pill of Slynd, you should still be okay. Just pick it up the next day like you would a combination birth control pill. That's why we said not all progestin-only pills are the same. This one is a very short bioavailability, so to keep steady state, you must take it within the 3-hour window. Here's the instructions that are right out of the practice advisory, but it's also in the package insert. It's very standard for missing a progestin-only pill. It's not unique to the O-pill, not unique to Norgestrel at all, okay? But here's the information. It's super, super brief that we need to tell patients if they choose this method of over-the-counter contraception. Number one, if the pill is missed, if they take a pill more than 3 hours later than it was scheduled, or you miss one or more days of this, you're out of whack. Okay, so if you take the pill 3 hours late, or you miss the day entirely, the first thing to do is take that tablet immediately as soon as you remember. That makes sense. That's a no-brainer. The second instruction is, you got to go back to taking your daily tablet at the usual time, just like regular birth control. But here's the catch. Unlike regular combination birth control, where you just make up the pill the next morning, take your regular pill at the same time, you have to use a condom or some other barrier method for the next 48 hours. That's how long it takes to get that product, that level, back to a steady state. Okay? So if you take the pill 3 hours late or you miss a day entirely, you got to make that up. Take it as soon as you remember and then take your regular pill at the same time as scheduled. But you have to use a condom or another backup method for 48 hours. Okay. And now if you miss more than that and you want emergency contraception, then you have to stick in the progestin line. So don't use Uliprystal, just like with combination birth control pills. They would qualify for Plan B, and then they can restart regular birth control without a delay. Uliprystal requires a 5-day delayed start for combination birth control and progestin only. Remember that, okay? So everybody good? You got 3 hours. If you're late 3 hours, take it as soon as you can. Take the next pill when it's scheduled. But that's it for 2 days. Either don't have sex or you have to use a condom or a barrier method for 48 hours. Okay, see, that wasn't all that painful. It's pretty easy. Take it on time. Don't be late. You got 3 hours to take it. So put that reminder on your phone. That's what we should all be telling our patients. Now, regarding androgenicity, let's just quickly remind ourselves what Norgestrel is. So at the end of the progestin family and evolution and generation are the very non-androgenic options like drospirenone. Remember, that's typically called like a fourth generation or an atypical progestin. The more you go away from the parent 19-nortestosterone derivative, the first generation progestins, the more you go away from that, they still have progestational activity. They're all going to do their job. But the more you get away from the parent compound, 19-nortestosterone, the first generations, the less androgenic they are. That's why drospirenone, things like Yaz and Yasmin, got the marketing approval for anti-androgenic and for acne control, although all birth control pills will do it because they all increase sex hormone binding globulin if there's estrogen in the pill, okay? But progestin only pills, unless it's truly anti-androgenic, like a late generation progestin, may not help with acne. So patients need to know that. If they say, no, I don't want a prescription birth control pill because I can get that over the counter, so I'm just going to do that for my acne. No. This one may not help you with that. Because this kind of progestin, which is norgestrel, is a second generation progestin. It's the sister or the brother, whatever you want to do. Don't get mad at me. It's just a reference, guys. All right, it's the direct link sibling to levonorgestrel. Right, so first generation progestins, very androgenic, are things like norethindrone. Things that are second generation progestins are levonorgestrel and norgestrel. So levonorgestrel and norgestrel are in the same class. It's a second generation. Third generation progestins, again, a little bit less androgenic now, are things like norgestimate and desogestrel. Okay. Again, that's why they're a little bit more acne friendly. And then the fourth generations are the very anti-androgenic, like drospirenone. Okay, so first, second, third, and fourth generations. So this kind of androgen, this kind of progestin is slightly androgenic because it's a second generation. Not as androgenic as a first generation, which is norethindrone, but still pretty darn close to the original 19-norotestosterone derivative. Does that make sense? So if a patient asks you, can I take this for my acne? No. Why would you do that? No, you need a combination birth control because it's the estrogen that increases sex hormone-binding globulin that helps bind testosterone, which stimulates the oily unit, the sebaceous unit of the skin that triggers acne. So that's why all forms of combination birth control help, although it would help if it has estrogen and an anti-androgen component in the pill like drospirenone. Does that make sense? So not all progestin-only pills are the same, and patients need to be aware of that. They also need to be made aware of things that we always tell patients with progestin-only methods about the breakthrough bleeding that we've already touched on. So I wanted to touch on those three main things. Number one, they're super safe. This is okay. Even obesity shouldn't matter. Hypertension, unless it's like really severe, that's kind of an outlier. But otherwise, very few to no real contraindications for this type of medication. Second, it totally works if taken correctly with a 0.3% perfect use failure rate, but 9% typical use. And that's where that three-hour rule comes in. So remember, three-hour rule. And then lastly, these potential side effects of breakthrough bleeding and acne. That's all I wanted to cover in this. That's really all that the practice advisory is, which is a little cheerleading thing like, woohoo, it's out now. Yay. Not everybody can get it, but it's coming eventually across the country from west to east coast. But patients need to be aware of the specifics as we do in terms of patient education and patient counseling. One last thing. Right now, it is over the counter, and they got to pay for that. That's like $20, right? And $20, man, today's economy, listen, that's monthly. Damn, I mean, that's a lot of money, guys. I get that if we're very, very privileged, I guess. If you can go get a $5 cup of coffee just because it's coffee, damn. I mean, that's first world problems, right? But for some people, remember, there's things like period poverty that are real. I mean, we've got patients here in a major university can't get tampons or pads because they can't afford it. It's terrible. So to go, well, it's only $20. $20 for somebody is a lot. Those are hours worked at an hourly wage. So don't discount that it's just $20. So right now it is, you've got to pay for it. However, there are some states that do include that as part of their plan coverage by insurance. So you got to know, patients need to know whether it's covered or not. And insurances are increasing their offering to include this as either a small out-of-pocket expense or completely covered. So don't, if your patient asks you, hey, how much does this cost? Well, in general, even though there's some differences in pricing, it's around $20. But if you have third-party insurance, ask them first if they cover it because it may be either a small copay or no charge to them. All right, podcast family, that is it. See, super targeted. We didn't get through a lot of the science. We're not going to do all that. We've done that many times before. You can go to the archive and listen to our past episodes on the O pill. I'm so thankful for this thing because we've been following this for a long, long time, and it is here. So very happy, even though there's still room to grow and people are still trying to figure out some specifics. Anyway, thank you again for your wonderful messages of encouragement. This is so great. I'm so thankful for this community that we have built, not just in the U.S. This podcast family, guys, is international. We've got great, great family support for this podcast in Australia and New Zealand, all throughout Europe, in the Middle East, Canada, of course, our neighbors down south, plenty down in Latin America. So thank you all for your continued support. So thankful for you all. All right. As always, we're happy that you're part of our podcast community, and we'll see you in another episode of Clinical Pearls.